The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Good evening. Certainly count it a blessing to be with you once again. Appreciate the good song service and the prayer. Certainly marvel at these other brethren that preach, and I marvel that I would have consider myself capable or worthy of standing up here at all. There's a song in our hymn book that says, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise, the glories of our God and King, the triumphs of His grace." We also read in Revelation that the Lord specifically has angels, if you will, in heaven, which constantly proclaim that the Lord is thrice holy, 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 holy. I just wonder how I could ever endeavor to proclaim His holiness, His thrice holiness anyway. But I do beg an interest in your prayers. And if the Lord does not bless, I will pray for all of y'all. But I'd like you to turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter, for a few minutes this evening. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. We read a very short, succinct verse. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It's one simple sentence. And the crux of the sentence is purity and a sight of God. Now, the Lord's not necessarily discussing any kind of physical purity, whether it, anything across the board, whether it can be considered someone convicted of a felony or of murder or of anything else like that. We read in 1 Corinthians, that Paul understood that many of the people in the Corinthian church at that time had not previously been physically pure. They had engaged in all kinds of activities, from murder to fornication to all sorts of other things that we would deem very impure. But Paul says, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Such as were some of you." He says, past tense, "you were like this." And I wonder sometimes if it happened sort of like this. Paul was standing on the street corner proclaiming the gospel in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and a dirty, unkempt, ragged man runs up to him and throws himself at Paul's feet and asks, as the Philippian jailer did, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul thinks, I could condemn this man. I could say, "You're unclean. You're filthy, you're impure, look at the lifestyle you have been leading." But I'm sure Paul remembered, I was like this man at one time. I murdered. I committed horrors against the name of the Lord Jesus Christ under the guise of that I was doing His will. He remembered that I was once like these people. I was once an offense to the name of God. I'm sure God turned His face away at some of the acts that I did, but He chose to forgive me anyway. So Paul looks at the acts of repentance that many members of the Corinthian church had engaged in and says, "You're pure now. You're sanctified. You're washed. You're forgiven." But then we are told in Matthew chapter 5, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that we are still to be pure. We continue to seek purity. So that may not mean physically, it may mean mentally, it may mean in our own hearts. I believe that's the specific context of this chapter here. We are to seek purity of heart. Amen. Now, if your heart is pure, if our hearts are pure, our actions and our words are going to follow right along with that. We are told, and I believe it's Matthew chapter 12, don't hold me to that, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever my heart is, whatever my words express, my heart should have that same attitude. Whatever I do, my heart is probably going to have that same attitude. Right. If I express things that are not in my heart, if my heart is filthy, but I try to carry on conversing with fellow children of God in love, I'm a liar and I'm deceitful. I have two options. Either speak the truth in love or don't say anything at all. That's very simple. Two very simple options. I understand there may be times when someone asks for your opinion and you may soften your response to spare their feelings. But there's never a time when we have to outright lie. It's either speak the truth in love or don't say anything at all. So therefore, when we read this passage, we have to understand that in order for our actions to be pure and our words to be pure, our heart must be pure, first of all. So there's some incredible benefits to seeking purity of heart. Number one is we gain a vision of God that we would not have if our hearts and our spiritual eyes were clouded by impurity. If we constantly poured things into our mind and into our hearts that were impure, we would not see God as well as we could if we were seeking purity. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 11 says, "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." Not only does the Lord respect and revere someone with a pure heart, the king, a ruler, will as well if he's seeking the Lord's will. A purity of heart is to be desired. A purity of word is to be desired. A purity of action is to be desired. When we look at this, when we consider the example of the Corinthian church, when we look at a group of people who had engaged in previous impure activities, the Lord gives us some, James, in the book of James, James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us some steps to determine whether or not we are seeking the Lord in purity. If we find ourselves engaging in an activity which the Bible qualifies as not pure, we're going to discover in a few minutes what the Scripture qualifies as pure. Here's what we ought to do. In the, James, the fourth chapter, and the sixth verse, we are told, "But he giveth more grace," that he's speaking of, he'll tell us who he's giving more grace to, "wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." The Lord gives grace unto those who will admit that we are by nature impure. If we will freely admit that the natural inclination of our flesh is towards impurity, the Lord gives grace to that, because that is humility. That is often very hard to admit, because I'll submit to you today, and I'm sure you have found this out, that a path of seeking the Lord in purity is not always a path that everyone chooses to take. Often the majority will not choose that. Many may choose to seek the Lord in the big things, in terms of saying, you know, lasciviousness or fornication or adultery or defiling oneself with mankind. That's wrong. That's impure. But what about the small things? What about the things that we are told by the Spirit of God individually to each one of our conscience? When the Spirit of God speaks to our conscience as individuals and tells us that small thing in your life, that's impure for you. I'm sure that's happened to each one of you here today. That's happened to me on a regular basis. So in James chapter 4, in verse 7, we are told, "Submit yourselves therefore to God," or show humility. "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So what are we to do when we find ourselves engaging in something that is impure, in an activity that's impure, or thoughts that are impure? We're to draw nigh to God. First of all, we cleanse our hands. What do our hands do? Our hands perform actions. Hands pick up my watch, turn the pages of this Bible, gesticulate towards all of you to convey different points. They perform actions. The Lord's saying, when you find yourself engaging in something that is impure, first of all, just stop doing it. Second of all, Cleanse and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When we first quit engaging in an impure habit, however small it may be, there is going to be some confliction of mind. We're going to be double-minded. And so the Lord says, purify your hearts after you cleanse your hands. After you've washed your hands of whatever you've been doing, continue by removing the thoughts of that activity or those very thoughts themselves from your mind. So we could ask ourselves, what are pure things? Sometimes I feel conviction over something I'm doing, and I don't even really fully understand how to determine if it's wrong or not. Here's the test. Philippians, the fourth chapter, very well-known verse of Scripture. Philippians, the fourth chapter, and the eighth verse, we are told, "Finally, brethren," Paul's saying, on top of everything else I've told you, on top of everything else, brothers and sisters, On top of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for you, on top of the fact that He has done all these other marvelous things, that His name is to be proclaimed, that at His name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, remember, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Remember, if we think on something, that's naturally going to carry over into our actions. I was reading a political article the other day in which one opposing party was completely bashing another member of the other political party, specifically Republican and Democrats. A Republican was bashing a Democrat. I'll be political here. And I was reading the article and I began to think, this is terrible. I can't believe this about this person. I would never even consider them as a candidate for election. I can't wait to look and see what references they give to support this article. And I got all the way to the end, and the only reference it gave was Wikipedia. I began to think, I'm meditating on this article. I'm really taking this article in. I'm not even old enough to vote, but I'm getting all head up over this article. And I began to think about this verse. Does all the criteria of this verse apply to the article I was reading? Does all the criteria of this verse apply to that media I was consuming? Well, when I looked at the article and I began to think about it, is it true? It wasn't true. It was false. It was fake. The man had probably made the majority of it up. Whatsoever things are honest. Was it honest? Well, it certainly wasn't honest. It was a bunch of lies. Was it just? Did he represent that man that he was bashing fairly? No, he didn't. Was it pure? Did it excite pure thoughts in my mind? No, it didn't. It just made me angry. Was it lovely? Was it pleasing to my spirit? Did it lift me up? Did it bring me up to see the Lord better than I already had? No, it didn't. It just made me angry. It made me engage in the natural inclination of my flesh to be angry and mock someone. Was it of a good report? Was it really a good report? Again, was it true? Was it honest? Did it fairly represent the person? Think about a good report. We don't even have to dissect that phrase. What do you think of when you hear a good report? Maybe a good report of someone's activity. You receive a good report at work. You receive a good report card. Do the things we consume on a daily basis, do they receive a good biblical report card? Many of them don't. That article certainly did not. Was it virtuous? Could I have praised that article? No. You know what I should conclude? I shouldn't even think about it. I'd ask you today to think about something that you may have been struggling with or you may not be struggling with. Some form of media consumption, some form of a relationship, somebody you hang out with all the time. And you've been conflicted. You're thinking, man, is this the best person to hang out with all the time? Should I be thinking this in this certain way? Should I be consuming this specific resource? Should I be watching this? Should I be reading this? Should I be liking this? Should I be hitting the like button on all this stuff that I don't even really think about? Apply the biblical litmus test of purity. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Is it virtuous? And can I sit back after having consumed that and thought about it and think, I've just praised my Lord and Savior in doing so? When I think that way, I find a lot of useless things in my life. A lot. I remember one time, on a slightly more lighthearted note, I was about 3 years ago, I was working outside weed eating a massive pond. And of course, I had about a gallon of water that I intended to drink throughout the day. It was 105 outside. It had rained the day before, 95% humidity. And at some point in the day, I dumped out my whole gallon of water at about 10 o'clock that morning. I knew I've got another 9 hours out here, and it's 105 degrees, that I have to go without drinking anything. And I was in a pond, and there was a little bit of water left down in the pond. And so I didn't have any pure water left. So I walked down to the bottom of that pond and got down on my knees and scooped up a little bit of the water in my hand. And I looked down at that water, and it was green, and it had dirt in it, and it had mosquito larvae swimming around in it. And you know what I did? I let it trickle back down through my fingers, because that was not pure. I submit to you today, are you drinking mosquito larvae? Are you drinking dirt? Are you drinking the moss of this world? Look at what you are consuming. Measure it according to Scripture. Is it true? Is it honest? Can I give praise to my Lord and Savior through this information? Many times I cannot, because it's impure. And you know, all that does is serve to cloud my vision of God even more. I have to strive to seek the Lord without clouding my vision with dirty water, with dirty spiritual things. Now, as a recap, as we close, I'm not trying to make this too lighthearted by asking if you're drinking mosquito larvae. This is a very serious, serious thing to consider. Because I've come to find when I've engaged in something that's not pure, whatever it may be as simple as the article I read. I was mad about the rest of the day about that article. And I thought about it that evening, and I realized my vision has been clouded by something that's not pure. It's not true. It's not honest. It's not of a good report. And I didn't even think about maybe the good things that candidate had done, the good positions they took, the ways that they may have blessed people, which may be true, regardless of what political party they're in. And I'd cease to see the Lord because something impure clouded my vision of Him. I would exhort you today, as goodness gracious, if you desire to hear someone preach who is completely inconsistent in everything they preach about, please get up and leave, because I am not that person. And I would ask you, as I ask myself, is my intake of media or any other item, is it clouding my vision of God? I hope and pray it's not. It's very simple to determine if it is. Apply the biblical test of purity. Run through those descriptions. Study those words. Write it down on a 3x5 card and stick it in your pocket. Write it on the wall of your bedroom. It's the only time, well, I was going to say it's the only time when it's okay to write on the walls, but that's probably not good advice. Don't write it on the walls. But I'll encourage you, meditate on that verse. Think about that verse. And I hope that we could all see the Lord more clearly on a day-to-day basis. Thank you for your time.